This is the BBC Light Programme. The Reason Why. The story of an unexplained phenomena.
'76,
and my master, the Hon. Harold Bowles, MP, was at that time a Member of Parliament in Parliament.
It has come to my notice that in the region of the tram stop near the clock of the historical omnibus track of 1873, there are certain irregularities.
What about the irregularities in our bargain?
I tell you, I was home all yesterday evening.
Please, Honourable Members.
Lord Brownie,
continue.
Yes, well, it appears that there is a large hole or gap in the Thames embankment wall. It only appeared recently, and to date, nothing has been done about it.
Send the gunboat. Sorry, I'm dreaming.
This hole or gap in the embankment, is it really necessary?
No, it's not really necessary.
Then I suggest it be abolished as an unnecessary expense.
Well, this hole isn't costing us anything.
That sounds reasonable. But...
Look up there. Mr. Bowles explained. He has the figures, Mr. Bowles.
Yes, it is as Lord Browning points out. It is as Lord Browning points out. The danger this hole presents, i.e., last winter on certain foggy and dark time nights, citizens of London town fell through this gap into the Thames and wet their clothes. The crux of the matter is this. These people, as a result of their wetting, catch colds. These citizens, in turn, are suing the government for the monies laid out in medical fees. The question is, would it be cheaper to pay up claims or fill in the hole?
Fill in the hole!
Are you in Parliament?
Only just, sir.
Have many people fallen through this hole?
Sir Mortley Bridge, this is your department.
Yes. How many people fell? Fell to the Thames last year, yes. I have the separate figures for men and women.
And I'm winning.
The figures for men for the months January, February, and March. 32, 56, and 41.
And the figure for women?
32, 21, and 39.
An ideal figure for a woman.
May I ask how this hole or gap in the embankment came about in the first place?
It was left there by the builder. I suppose he forgot to take it away. He get it, you see? Hole, if you want to take it away.
With bricks, of course.
Bricks? There's always a radical somewhere. Oh, no, Sir Fools. No, indeed, England can afford something better than bricks.
Bravo.
I'll think of something. There is always a way out.
That night, my master, Hon. Bowles, MP, was having dinner with a friend at number 10, 11, 12, and 13 Downing Street.
I say, I hope the ladies didn't hear that one.
Yes, it was a bit loud, wasn't it? Mr. Prime Minister, you haven't introduced me to your guest.
Oh, yes, certainly.
This is the Honourable Harold Bowles, MP. And Bowles, this is Lord Thin, the famous builder and sculptor.
Builder and sculptor? What do you sculpt?
Houses.
Do you use a model?
My dear old grandmother. You see, it's a family business.
I see. A sculptor, you say? By Jove, you might be the very man.
No?
Let's go out on the balcony.
Certainly. Excuse me.
I think your friend has a hole in his pocket.
Jove, so he has. Allow me to introduce him to you, Count Moriarty, the Honourable Bowles.
Pleased to meet you, Hon. Bowles. Mon pleasure, mon pleasure.
The Count is a model much in demand by artists on the continent.
Really?
Yes, he posed for the original Eiffel Tower.
Gad, how he's changed! Pardon me, would you gentlemen like your coffee on the balcony?
Haven't to any cups.
Now then, Lord Henry, you may have read in the press that the Thames Embankment
has a hole in it. And the whole world is laughing at England. It's not very pretty, is it?
Have you a solution?
Of course. Fill the gap with an edifice.
An edifice? Much too big and expensive.
A statue, then. My card.
Sculptor. Special summer rates to politicians, England, and spawn. What is spawn?
A soft, porous metal mined in agony by the inhabitants of the Urals.
So it is that all the time.
I could make you a spawn statue to fill that hole.
The price?
With season ticket, £39, $3.
Where are the $3?
I intend finishing the work in America.
How do you mean to travel there?
Yes.
I see. £39. A bit expensive. Yeah. Could you quote a smaller figure?
I could. Bust 12, waist 3, hips 48.
That would never fill the gap.
It must fill somebody's. After all, it's spring, you know.
Seasons have no effect on this gap.
Hello, gentlemen. Do you mind if I join you?
Why, hello, Lord Harrods. Just talking about the gap in the embankment.
Ah, that's just what I wanted to see you about. The British ambassador in Alexandria tells me that just outside the town there is a wealth of ancient statuary going begging.
Begging? They should be stopped.
The PM believes that one of these monuments could be used to fill the gap.
What a splendid idea. That would save us spending £39, $3, and the one Lord Thin has tempted.
On the On Mem's suggestion, that night my master, On Bowles, as was his custom, walked naked in the garden playing the violin, at one and the same time dictating a certain letter to his secretary.
Dear Ambassador, I will be coming to Alexandria next month on state business. Signed, On Harold Bowles. Read that back, will you, my man?
Read
it back.
Oh, yeah. What's that? What that first word?
It says, Dear Ambassador.
Oh, yeah. Dear Ambassador. Can't make out this next one.
I will be.
Oh, yeah. I will be. That's right. Well, go on, then.
I will be arriving in Alexandria next month.
Fine.
Sign, On Harold Bowles.
Yeah, that's okay. You better run out and post that my good money.
At once. Take that! You nit! Take this letter to the post at once.
Okay.
10 to 1 he won't find a postbox.
Don't tell him I do.
Get out! Now to prepare for the journey. William, where's that old wrinkled retainer? William!
Yeah, I'll come, sir. And the wrinkled retainer.
William, I'm going to Egypt.
Goodbye, mate.
Come back here. What? I'm not going now. I've only just sent the letter informing them of my arrival.
Oh, yeah, I better post it. No,
get down and post it! Now, William, I'll need my Gladstone bag and my Disraeli suitcase.
Right, sir. I'll get the pawn tickets and collect your pawn.
Splendid. Pack my deer stalker, because I'll be doing some deer stalking. I might do some rabbit stalking, too.
Oh, pack your rabbit stalker as well.
Well, man.
Mr. Bowles, sir, here are your boat and train tickets. First-class sleeper standing up. Reduced summer rates for the politicians facing east.
I've got to stand all the way to Egypt.
Oh, no, sir. You're allowed to sit down at Port Suez for 3 minutes.
Ah, the wonders of travel, Greenslade. Well, let's drink to a successful trip. Let's celebrate, chaps. Put on a cylinder of wax.
On the 3rd of May, on a torrid afternoon, me master, On Bowles, arrived at the British Embassy, Alexandria.
Curse these flies.
Pardon me, sir. There is a naked man playing the fiddle outside.
Sounds like a professional. Sinephore.
This way forward, sir.
Ah, thank you. Good morning, sir.
Come in. Let me take your violin for you. Abdul, burn this on the fire. Now then, who are you?
I am the Honorable Harold Bowles, MP. Thank you. Shall we dance?
Love to.
Dance, divine.
As the two beautiful creatures waltzed through the embassy, my master, On Bowles, told of his hoping to find an Egyptian monument to fit the gap and was passed to the notorious gap filler, Major Bloodnock.
The message says he's coming here sideways today about 11. Let's see, this is an hour and a half. Oh, I have time for a little more work. Now, where's that catalogue? Yeah. Bust 42, waist 20, hips 44. Yes. Dear sir, I am a keen art student of 21. Please forward to me in the plain wrappers your continental selection of students' art studies. Signed, Augustus Johns.
Pardon me, sir.
What? John, what?
There's two men called Honorable Bowles outside, sir.
Oh, Honorable Bowles?
This way, sir.
Ah, how do you do, sir?
How are you? Welcome to freedom. Thank we must you. Have a drink, lad, eh?
No, I'm sorry, Major. I'm dreadfully tired. I think as we're rising early tomorrow, I'd like to get to bed.
You're right, Bowles. You're perfectly right. Abdul, make up the ironing board in the spare room, will you?
Never mind, please. I'll sleep on the floor.
Will you? Good. Brian, good night, lad.
Good night.
What's that? There's someone at the foot of my bed. Light the candle. I can't. The wick's fused.
Hands up, you there in the dark. Don't move. I'm holding a lorry sock in my hand and a lace glove on my foot. Bloodnock, tie to a chair with ties.
Yes. Keep still, whoever you are. You hear me? I'm an Englishman, sir. One false move and I'll shout bang.
Oh. Get these chains on the swine.
Stuff this gag in his mouth.
There. Stand to the chair there.
Now then, tell us who you are.
And Blue Bottle.
Gad, yes, Blue Bottle. He came over on the clipper with me.
Really?
Yes, he's my ADC.
He looks nothing like one. I'll have him destroyed.
Oh, no. He's very useful at spotting pterodactyls.
Fine. We haven't had one of those for years.
I have brought this message from the London.
Let me see. Letter from Mr. Gladstone, the Prime Minister. I'll put my court uniform on and read it.
Dear Honourable Bowles, I have just heard that you are bringing back an Egyptian-type statue to fill our beloved gap in the Thames Wall. The ministers have been instructed to give you all the aid in their power. We should like to have the hole filled in to commemorate the silver jubilee.
The silver jubilee? Get in the station. But look, hold of the camels.
Two camels, please.
So my master, the On Bowles, journeyed to the great desert of Jira, outside Karnak. Karnak, ancient city of the Third Dynasty, abounding in remains of a once great civilization. A sort of oriental Cleethorpes. On this scene arrived my master, the Honorable Bowles, and escort.
Honorable Bowles and escort. We are the curators of the archaeological findings in this area.
What are your findings?
Not guilty.
Splendid. How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Not guilty.
I'm Lord Thun, also not guilty. I joined On Bowles yesterday.
A knife for you. Knife for you.
We've been informed there is a giant obelisk around here.
Yes, that's the Cleopatra's Needle, 67 feet high and 10 foot square at the base.
Jove, On Bowles. Those are the exact measurements of the gap in the Thames embankment.
You might have hit it first time. Just think,
Was that sculptor trying to charge us £39.3? And we can get it all for free.
Knighthoods will be in order, Bowles.
Indeed, son. Come, let's examine this obelisk and...
Nice for them.
My master, On Bowles, along with Lord Thun, made camp at the side of the great obelisk, and a series of examinations of it were made by the engineer royal, Mr. Thong.
Well, yes, it appears to be in one piece, made of red sandstone. Weighs about, let me see now, it's about 150 tons, I should say.
Be a bit of a devil to get back to the old country, wouldn't it?
Don't worry, gentlemen. I've arranged for it to be given a buoyant wooden jacket and towed home behind the SS Carthania.
It was a great sight, as my master On Bowles observed 2,000 laborers sweating and straining as the great colossus was lifted and dusted. Finally, after 3 months, it was put in its wooden container and launched.
I say, it's sunk.
How long will it take to raise it?
Oh, only about a week, lad.
A week? This is starting to cost money. To date with wages and the salvage, it's £1,500.
Yes, 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 but you don't realize that this obelisk is free.
You couldn't get one for that price anywhere in England.
Yes. I keep forgetting.
I say, Bowles, the overseer says he doesn't think we can raise the obelisk by hand. Says we'll need deep water salvage vessels.
Oh. Well, we'll contact Naval Base Alexandria and request immediate aid. We've got to hurry. Remember, the Silver Jubilee is only a month away. Admiral Crichton, how much longer to lift this thing?
The divers say it's difficult to see to attach the cable, sir. The water's very, very muddy.
Well, can't we go where the water's clear?
We did that, but we discovered that the obelisk wasn't there, sir.
What terribly bad luck.
Don't you worry, sir. We'll soon have her up.
Sir, Robert Harrigan, bearing down in this position.
Uh-huh.
Up anchors! Head for safe harbour!
Nonsense, Scottish captain. I have a perfect plan for saving the obelisk with no danger to life, limb, or Herman Lobb.
Honourable Bowles, I hear that the obelisk is at the bottom of the sea. I'm afraid this just won't do. Signed, Gladstone.
They're getting impatient. Now there's a fresh bill for £12,000 for the Admiralty for the two ships wrecked in the hurricane.
Well, don't worry. Skipper says the needle should be lifted by nightfall.
Nightfall? We'll have to wait till it gets dark for that.
Well, can't we do it at nightfall while it's still light?
I'm sorry, sir, but that's the best place for him.
Don't worry about him. He's off the current persona non grata list. Now, couldn't we move the obelisk to clearer water? Then we could see it.
That's two of you off the persona non grata list.
Send our bill and haul away!
On May the 8th, the master sent the following message to the PM.
At last, the cylinder containing Cleopatra's needle has been raised.
It set out this morning, towed by the ship SS Harbour. We will conclude unfinished business and follow in a week's time. We have to break camp and smash crockery and hurl elephants. Lord Sun has been cured of sulfur drugs. Please send £8,000 to pay all the outstanding bills. This may sound a lot, but remember, the obelisk hasn't cost us a penny. There. Now, read that back.
What this first word?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I'll post it.
Now for England, home and beauty!
Mr. Prime Minister, the Onbows has been captured by a savage Bedouin tribe. They demand a ransom of £30,000.
We'll pay it. £30,000 is very cheap for an Englishman.
Yes, sir.
Any news from the Admiralty about the obelisk?
Yes, sir. It is at this moment passing the Straits of Gibraltar.
Straits of Gibraltar? They sound like nice people.
They are, sir. Meantime, in the Bedouin camp.
Mahatma Kigali, there is a British courier outgoing from London.
Send him in.
I do.
This will be the ransom. You all go behind the screen. Come in.
Greetings, Sheikh. I have brought a ransom money for the release of Honorable Bowles.
Show me the money.
No, will not. I have been warned of the mistress of the East. I will show you half of the money.
All right. Bring me my sword and I'll show you half of Mr. Bowles.
No. Do not chop it him into two. Here's the money for you, £20,000.
All right, Bowles, you can come out.
Hello! We're free!
Yo, let's go to the butcher.
No, it's London for us. And the erection of Cleopatra's needle.
Well, there's bad news about that. It's got cut off from the towship during a storm, and it's lost, I fear.
Oh, dash.
So my master, the Onbows, chartered a squadron of Arab dhows to scour the seven seas. Total cost of the venture to date, £39,000.
Yes, but as the Honorable Bowles had said so often...
Really, it's worth it. After all, we're getting it for nothing, aren't we?
Object in sea ahead! 3 points to starboard!
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir, I said it!
You, Bowles.
I've just got the spyglass on it. It is. It is. It's the obelisk. Captain Stench, heave two. No, you'd better heave three to be on the safe side.
There's starboard side and port side, but there's no safe side, sir.
Don't argue. It's drifting aft. Hurry!
Scranscur the Scandinavia! Spurn pure the mizzen, iron crungle the whacktop. Crage the lugger and whirtle the knipped nail. Whirls the tunker yardle miles, the moby batten the hearts and turlock meal. I don't know how he does it, but he's all a soul willing, you know.
Good news, Bowles. We've got the obelisk in tow again, but we have to beach it as soon as it's waterlogged.
Make for the nearest coast.
That's Portugal, sir, and we all know what comes from there. Hard a blonde on the gart, kneel and bargle the gold. I don't know how he does it, sir. I don't know.
Dear on the bowels, we hear that the obelisk is now resting on a Portuguese beach. This will never do. The silver jubilee is but a stone's throw away.
Send a reply. Dear Mr. Gladstone, fear not. The obelisk will be in the Pool of London in a stone throw's time.
And so my master, the On Bowles, brought the great obelisk safely home and supervised its erection.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. On Bowles. I believe you have a certain amount of things which ought to be lodged in the base of the old obelisk.
Yes, indeed, there are quite a few things to go in the time capsule. Lord Bentinck, check them off from this list, will you?
Articles in two large earthenware jars at the base of Cleopatra's Needle. Standard foot and pound. Bronze model of the obelisk, scale half inch to the foot. Copies of the magazine Engineering, printed on vellum. Piece of the obelisk, stone. Empress of India, rupee. Parchment copy of Dr. Birch's translation of the obelisk's hieroglyphics. Portrait of Queen Victoria. Bradshaw's railway guide. Mappin's sculling razor. Box of hairpins and ladies' ornaments. Tanguy's hydraulic jack as used in raising the obelisk. Wire ropes and specimens of submarine cables. Map of London. Photographs of 12 pretty English women. 2-foot rule. London directory. Whitaker's Almanac, and a copy of the Times the day the obelisk was set up.
And on the Tonde of Mule, 1892, the obelisk Cleopatra's Needle was unveiled by Anna Neagle and Anton Walbrook.
This must be a proud day for you, On Bowles.
Thursday, yes? Yes, at last the gap is filled. Filled with an obelisk that we got for nothing.
Oh, here's the bill for erecting it.
£20,000.
That makes a grand total of £180,000, 8 shillings.
Yes. I suppose it was worth it.
Every penny of it.
Perhaps you have been listening to the authentic story of Cleopatra's Needle. Historical consultant Professor Toynbee, that is Professor Jim Toynbee of Hyde Park Railings. Right now for full details.
Is that your shoe on the floor, Henry?
Taking part in The Reason Why were Spike Milligan, Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Valentine Dial. The script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, and this recorded production was by Jakes Brown.